First of all, thank you for welcoming me, Pastor CJ, for kind of a short notice. I'm in town for a couple months of active days. I'm in the reserves, a reserve component chaplain, usually a pastor, kind of between civilian calls now. But reached out to a few local churches, and CJ was quick to reply. Pastor CJ, she's like, sure, it's a little tricky. If we have one service that day because we have this children's program. I said, I'll do it. I would love to get out and greet people and bring God's word. So thank you. CJ and I have a few things in common. Reading her bio online, we wrangled a few chickens in our day back in Wisconsin on the little farm I grew up at. And I got a retirement puppy for a gift about 9 months ago. Turns out I'm not retiring. That's a story for another time. But we named our dog, a wonderful name, rich in meaning, lots of suffixes you can put on it, whether it's ophilus or ology. But our dog's name is Theo, which is the same name as the son. So with that in mind, giving thanks for you and for your welcome, Pastor CJ, we continue in Jesus' name. Amen. So over Thanksgiving, our two eldest children joined me here in the D.C. area, got to see some historical sites, certainly unmatched anywhere in the United States. That said, I will say something more specifically about the Washington National Cathedral. I was there on the weekend of the Marine Corps birthday, which is the 10th of November, and there's a service held there every year in conjunction with that birthday. And so regarding the cathedral, I'll be honest here, I found it, I'm not quite sure how to phrase this, it may be a little risk in saying, it was in some ways amusing. It was a little bit, I don't know, artificial. And frankly, let me say, it was kind of awful. Now you're saying, there's got to be a trick here. Maybe he's testing us. That webpage says that we believe so much about God's love that's for you and for your neighbor. What if your neighbor calls the national monuments, you know, awful? Is that an appropriate non-majoritarian expression of patriotism? What's going on here? Well, what are you going to do next? You know, if it's talking about the commanders or the nationals saying they're awful, that's one thing. But really, is he going to say the reflection pool between the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument is just an old swamp? What do those kinds of visuals do for you when you experience them? Or maybe if these have become a little commonplace, perhaps you experience something stimulating as in a Carolina Wren that I heard on the way walking from the subway station, the metro station. Or exquisite beauty that you have every spring around here, at least you've had a season of winter to endure, and then the cherry blossoms come back, or a mountain range, or the ocean, or maybe food so delicious, say, fried cheese curds, or just some lefse with a little butter and sugar, you know, just the right thing that warms your heart and your body and your soul. Does anything amaze or inspire or move you? We are some distance from a desert. The Syrian-Arabian Desert in Anbar province in Iraq is even further away. I was there in 2006 with Naval Mobile Construction Battalion 25, the Seabees. And we used a phrase like awful and then added sort of some kind of adverb to that, which may not be best spoken in a place like this. And yet, for example, if you've been to a desert, 29 Palms will do, been there a few times in Mojave. But if you've been there at night, punctuated by those sparkling backdrops of clouds like the children sang, twinkle, twinkle, stars so bright, and as a backdrop for this beautiful moon as it goes through the cycles in extremely dark places without any light pollution interfering with it. And there's other things that are pretty impressive about deserts. From a distance, at least, a sandstorm approaching is really an amazing thing that captivates your interest. Now, probably those indigenous to deserts know a little bit better way to keep it off your skin and out of your lungs, but it really is something that's kind of remarkable as you think about God's majesty, whether it's made by mortals or whether it's cast from the eons. An upside of being in a combat environment where you're extra vigilant, I think, is that you notice macro things like the moon waxing and waning and micro things like insects that I've never seen before. There's also an oasis there in the desert. It had a water source, a tall green grass, and a grove of date palms. It was inside the wire. So shortly after I arrived, a group of us chaplains that were there, of various traditions, were given a tour by local holy men. And we were asked if our commanders authorized that it would be a chaplain that would be leading those tours. And this is because their tradition said that Abraham, yes, that's the Abraham of the religions of Islam, of Christianity, of Judaism, that's why we're called the Abrahamic faith, they believed that this very oasis had been a place where, back when it was called Mesopotamia, Abraham left the land of Ur and watered his flocks and had his family there at this very oasis. And so they wanted religious people to be the ones that would be able to give a little bit of the context as we took people on the tour there. And we did have some of those opportunities as they were authorized. But you know, regarding Abraham, yes, they had, he and Sarah had two sons. And between Ishmael and Isaac, there is a little bit of contention. Yet it had something to do with children and babies. And in this season, experiencing the sights, smells, sounds through children does let us remember wonder. Is there anything that causes you to wonder, to be amazed, or to be inspired, or to be moved? The baby business is, of course, a big part of this season. Who says you have to wait all the way until Christmas to get a Christmas carol or something? Maybe you weren't at the first service. I don't know if that was recorded as well. But we get little tidbits of it, and we get a different perspective on babies, don't we, in today's text. Babies are a wonder, and I expect that even if my wife and I didn't have children, that we would have had opportunities to experience a bit of life through their eyes. The transcendent, the avenues to awe and wonder, is one of the things that children give. According to Luke chapter 1, the time came for Elizabeth to give birth. Now, she had been resigned to be childless, and we know today, well, that doesn't have anything to do with a curse or anything, but that's kind of how the culture meant it. So that was their resignation. It was a pretty serious thing that this couple was not going to have a children. But, of course, she did, and she bore a son. Text says her neighbors and relatives heard it, so they had an opinion about how this child should be named. And they assumed to be Zachariah, kind of Zachariah Jr., or maybe Zachariah the first or the 50th in a long line. But his mother said, no, he'll be called John. They said to her, none of your relatives has that name. So they motioned the father. Kind of cultural thing, too, right? Ask the man. You're not going to trust this woman's opinion on it. They went over to Zachariah, father, who was speechless because of a prior incident, prior experience. So he couldn't talk. And they asked him for, or he asked them for a writing instrument. Something to write on, and of course he wrote, his name is John. And it says all of them were amazed. And immediately his mouth was opened, and as we confessed in our liturgy or our prayer, his first words he began to speak were praise, praise of God. The text says fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. We use different words to describe wonderful. Even in this case, you're saying, well, what were they afraid of? It said fear came over all the neighbors, and we need to realize in this context and often in scriptures, fear has a lot to do with reverent awe. It's not, oh, I'm about to be terrorized or traumatized by God, though some misunderstandings or bad theology might think about God as punitive. But fear in this case and in many instances is really that amazement, and that's what they were, and this was something to talk about. First of all, that this old couple had a child. And secondly, that they were going to break tradition, that somehow this was a God thing that caused a name to go out of this biological line to insert it with another method of naming. And naming is so important in identity in all cultures. Bringing to mind does the naming and the awe of children. And the word fear used as reverence, that it is a powerful thing. So what does amaze or inspire or move you? There was one other mission that a member of my unit led in our stated military objectives when we were there. And about the time I was getting that orientation tour of the oasis, one of our CBs, BU-2 Don Hodery, got a vision, and it was inspired by what he saw as a large chapel, also used for some large group trainings that was being constructed, I'd say at least twice as long as your nave that you're sitting in there. And as that was being constructed, he had this idea, and so he persuaded corporations back in the States to donate and ship materials needed to bring his dream to fulfillment, ship those to the desert, and he persuaded a sufficient cadre of his shipmates, including this padre when I was on the base where the main body was, to join him after long, exhausting work days to bring his master plan to life. Or maybe I should say bring his master plan to light. Now, one caveat. Iraq was a complicated, convoluted mission. I don't have to tell you that if you paid attention. it may be too early in the long arc of history for us to conclude on the net effects of our involvement there, whether it is ultimately more life-giving or life-detracting or not. But as always, those who bear the brunt of war's burden sense the complications very personally, as we did. Reminds me of a part of our tradition as Lutherans, which holds that humans are simul justus et peccator. We are simultaneously saints, and we are sinners. We are awesome, but we are also flawed. So we're flawsome, if you prefer. So at the installation of these stained glass windows, yes, the companies were shipping glass, and Hodari's civilian job back in Illinois, a reservist like myself who was mobilized, his civilian job was creating, installing, restoring stained glass windows. And at that installation, that dedication, which he was able to finish the project in those 6 months we were mainly in country, I used some anagrams to point out, yes, these contradictions, the flossomeness of the warfighters themselves and of those who serve to support warfighters. And those windows, as I pointed out, those through which sunlight passes we call stained, as is what we mortals sometimes do to one another, have a staining effect, and upon God's creation, even with best intentions. But those windows that are stained illuminate by God's light, the holy. These stained ones, if you move the T until right after the N, are also sainted ones. Stained glass windows often have what we call saints on them. And in that contest, these saint sinners, all of us, were inspired, sainted ones, by the stained glass windows that were dedicated. And those who also were in circumstances sometimes scared were touched by, just switch the C and the R, were touched by the sacred. Or if you add in one more R and shuffle them around, that's an anagram plus, then those who were scarred, and some were also touched by the sacred. And trust me, or read the evidence, that those who are scarred for various reasons, being involved in combat, or those who are scarred by various experiences of trauma and experience a moral or a soul wound, then that is exactly the business of the church and of our leaders and our chaplains and our caregivers, who are willing to go there with those deep difficulties, the tensions and contradictions of life that have left people wondering if their values are values, and if they're supported and substantiated by the things that our country and by our families and by our communities stand for. What amazes or moves or inspires you? The psalmist noticed that the reason for change and goodness is because it is God who's doing it. God has done great things for them, they said. The Lord does great things for us, and we rejoiced. Experiencing awe is more than, again, just a good idea. It's actually data these days that says it is particularly good for building our total health, but also mental or spirits or behavioral health. Because what awe does, apparently, is stimulates what's the longest nerve in the body, the vagus nerves. And in stimulating this, provides a protective factor for the difficulties that come, and also gives us resilience and abilities to handle the hard things that come to us. Well, there's other ways to work out this vagal nerve. Some are less attractive than others, like plunging your face into ice water. Apparently, that stimulates the nerve and is a good thing. There's some that are more familiar to a community of faith, because gathering in community is one of the things that does it. And then if you add music to that and hum or sing, you are stimulating that same long nerve in your body and being inspired by the sacred. Their mouths were filled with laughter, the scripture says, when God turned their lives around and gave them hope. Laughter's another one that does it. Socializing, community, laughter, experiencing awe. So just like fear meant great reverence and awe in some uses, in particular those biblical contexts. When I described our national cathedral, I may have forgotten to tell you that though the construction began in 1907, I trust you've been there. If not, now's a great season for it. But it reminds me of some of the cathedrals that were constructed three centuries or more prior. I use terms, artificial, amusing, and awful, in ways that people spoke about those great cathedrals of the 17th century, which is to say, back then, artificial, meant artful. And amusing was simply what we understand is amazing. And awful means awe-inspiring, full of awe. This is the season to get that in whatever ways as we turn back our clocks a little bit and experience what children do, but not just children. Lots of ways to get it. Sometimes new experiences do that. Coming to a new church, hearing music performed beautifully by the likes of Daryl or led in a simple liturgy by Catherine, that gives me that warm feeling that is akin to the awe that is doing my body good. I expect you'll be back through the Christmas carols and Christmas Eve worship services. We've got something here as people of God in communities of faith where we gather, we socialize, we laugh, we sing together. We experience the awe of God. And our first response, appropriately, is rejoicing. In Jesus' name.